The FAA and Boeing developed Dreamliner ELT inspection protocols. A Sukhoi Superjet 100 lands wheels up in Iceland. And BRS Aerospace has new digs at NASA. This is Aero News for Tuesday, July 23, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA is preparing to issue an airworthiness directive in the coming days that would make inspections of the wiring leading to the Honeywell ELTs installed on Boeing's 787 Dreamliners mandatory. This move comes in the wake of a fire on board an Ethiopian Airlines Dreamliner at Heathrow Airport earlier this month. These inspections would ask operators to inspect for proper wire routing and any signs of wire damage or pinching, as well as inspecting the battery compartment for unusual signs of heating or moisture. The FAA says in a statement that after reviewing the initial findings of the UK's Air Accident Investigations Branch's report and recommendations, they are working with Boeing to develop instructions for operators on how to conduct the inspections. Over the weekend, the FAA will be communicating its intentions to aviation safety regulators in other countries. A Sukhoi Superjet 100 with five people on board has reportedly made a gear-up landing in Iceland during a test flight. The Russian news service RIA Novosti reports that the airplane was landing at Keflavik Airport during flight test being conducted on Sunday. The airplane landed with all of its main landing gear still stowed and, you guessed it, slid off the runway, according to a statement from the Sukhoi Design Bureau. No one was injured in the accident. A photo posted online by CNN shows the airplane with its nose landing gear extended. The runway at Keflavik Airport was closed until midday on Monday local time while the airplane was inspected and the debris was cleared. Last year, a Sukhoi Superjet 100 went down in a mountainous region of Jakarta while on a demonstration flight with 45 people on board. In that case, there were no survivors from that accident. NASA's parachute refurbishment facility will soon have a new tenant. NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida has signed a new partnership agreement with BRS Aerospace of Miami, Florida, for use of the Parachute Refurbishment Facility, or PRF. The company develops and markets a variety of parachutes, including whole airframe emergency recovery parachute systems, personal parachute systems, low-cost aerial delivery systems, and precision-guided aerial delivery systems. The PRF previously was used during NASA's Space Shuttle program to manufacture and refurbish the solid rocket booster parachutes. With NASA's transition from the shuttle to future commercial and government mission activities, this agreement allows NASA to preserve the facility's capabilities for future spaceflight projects. Under the new 10-year lease agreement, BRS Aerospace will operate and maintain the facility at its own expense. The company will gain access to the facility to begin work on September 3rd and will hire approximately 34 full-time employees by the end of the year. The company will utilize the facility to establish a technical research and development center for advanced parachute systems and for manufacturing prototype systems. A North Korean ship that was detained in Panama has been found to be transporting two MiG-21 airplanes as well as two missile radar systems hidden under thousands of sacks of sugar. The Cuban government said it was supposed to be a donation for the North Korean people. The Panamanian government says, however, it detained the ship last week for unrevealed reasons. Reuters reports that the MiGs and the radar systems were discovered in containers in the cargo hold of the ship. When pressed, the Cuban government said that the weapons were, quote-unquote, obsolete and were being shipped to Korea for repair. But Panamanian investigators said that the airplanes smelled strongly of fuel, indicating they had been recently flown. Panamanian President Ricardo Martinelli said that undeclared weapons may not be transported through the Panama Canal, hidden below other cargo. Really? Korea has asked that its ship and 34-member crew be released, but the Panamanian government has dismissed that request. The crew were arrested and charged with attempting to smuggle undeclared weapons through the canal. When Aero News continues, going to the South Pole, on the moon, old airplanes never die, and you might be a redneck if...
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, July 23rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Plans for the first ever mission to the South Pole of the Moon were announced Thursday by the International Lunar Observatory Association, ILOA, and Moon Express Incorporated. The private enterprise mission will be both scientific and commercial and will deliver the International Lunar Observatory to the Moon's South Pole aboard a Moon Express robotic lander, establishing permanent astrophysical observations and lunar commercial communication systems for professional and amateur researchers. Moon Express will also utilize the mission to explore the Moon's South Pole for mineral resources and water. Lunar probes have provided compelling evidence of mineral and volatile deposits in the Moon's southern polar region, where energy and resources may be abundant. The ILOA, the International Lunar Observatory Association, is a global consortium of scientists, educators, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who seek to establish a scientific presence on the Moon, followed by human exploration and eventual settlement. Well, you know, they say old soldiers never die, they just fade away. It's kind of the same for old airplanes. They never die. They just retire to Arizona. A Lockheed VC-121 Constellation, built in 1948, is baking in the Arizona sun and was reportedly the first airplane in the nation to carry the designation Air Force One. According to a report in the Arizona Daily Star, the Connie, named Columbine II after the state flower of Colorado, where Mamie Dodd was married to Dwight Eisenhower at her parents' home, was used for a short time by Pan Am as an airliner before it was converted for VIP use by the government. While previous presidents had used airplanes for travel, the VC-121 was the first to be designated Air Force One with President Eisenhower aboard. The Constellation last flew as a presidential transport on October 25, 1959. It was officially retired in 1968, then sold at auction in 1970, underwent a $150,000 restoration, and went back on public display in 1990, making the rounds of air shows for a few years. Well, now it's been sitting on the ramp in Arizona since 2005, when it was again put on the auction block but failed to sell. Somebody didn't think to try eBay? Now the once opulent aircraft with marble floors looks like any old beat-up aircraft. The plane's current caretaker, Timothy Coons, is looking for a museum that might want to undertake another restoration project, saying, quote, "We're trying to find it a good home." Another example of an Eisenhower administration Air Force One, Columbine III, has been restored and is on display at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. There's a small town in Colorado that emphatically does not want government-owned unmanned aircraft flying overhead. The town of Deer Trail, Colorado, is considering passing an ordinance that would, wait for it, allow the issuance of hunting permits for drones. The text of the ordinance says, quote, "The town of Deer Trail shall issue a reward of $100 to any shooter who presents a valid hunting license and identifiable parts of an unmanned aerial vehicle whose markings and configuration are consistent with those used on any similar craft known to be owned or operated by the United States federal government," end quote. Television station KJRH reports that Philip Steele, the Deer Trail resident who drafted the ordinance, admits that it is, quote-unquote, symbolic. He told a reporter from the station that he has never seen a drone flying over the town, but he said he is strongly against the concept of drones flying in U.S. airspace, potentially conducting surveillance on citizens. If it's passed, the license would cost $25. The online news aggregator The Blaze reports that the FAA is not particularly amused by this proposed ordinance. You think? The agency said in a statement that a drone that is hit by gunfire, quote, could crash, causing damage to persons or property on the ground, or it could collide with other objects in the air. Shooting at an unmanned aircraft could result in criminal or civil liability, just as would firing at a manned airplane. End quote. You know, I guess there's only one way to really end this AeroCast. Folks, hold my beer and watch this. I'm Glenn Moyer, and I thank you for listening. You're now cleared for departure.